Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our program today. I'm joined by the Honorable Sam Rohrer. He's the president of the American Pastors Network and the host of this radio program. And we have with us again Dr. Gary Dahl, the executive director of our Pennsylvania Pastors Network, and he's the senior pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Altoona, Pennsylvania. I'm Isaac Crockett, senior pastor at Hamburg Bible Church in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. And our special guest today is Dr. Dan Olinger. He's the chair of the Division of Bible at Bob Jones University, as well as he's a Bible professor. He's a Sunday school teacher, an elder, a missions team leader, really a lot of other things too. He's a world traveler and lots of things in under his belt, I guess you could say. But we're excited to have him on board with us as we talk today about the news and about some of the headlines. In fact, going into that, have you seen what's making the headlines today? If you haven't, let me just summarize. Pretty much you can assume that everybody is in huge danger of really bad things happening. And the best thing you could do right now is just panic and watch more of the news as they tell us what to panic about. I mean, it seems like we were talking before the show started that everything is a big deal and it's blown out of proportion. We were talking about how many storms of the century we've had this year. And they give these special names to every storm that comes through. They give a play-by-play of the snow falling or the rain coming down. And even on the news, it seems like objects like phones or cars, guns, even money are said to be killing people. I read just recently that our money is killing us because of the germs that we're spreading when we handle money. Not too long ago, I came across several articles from a host of different newspapers and magazines like Time and Newsweek, New York Post. And those articles were claiming that new studies prove that babies are racist. So if you weren't worried now, you could be worried about your child or your grandchild that they're born as a racist. And all these problems, if you feel like the media is pushing panic attacks, you are probably not alone. In fact, on our show here, we have often talked about sensationalism in the news. And today we're going to be talking with Dr. Dan Olinger about the reasons behind this. Why does it feel this way? What are they doing? What is maybe a hidden agenda behind all of this? And who stands to benefit from this kind of hype? And then ultimately, what with our Christian worldview, what should our response be as Christians to this? So I would like to encourage you to listen today and to use maybe other news sources. If you find certain news sources are always sensationalizing things, to use things like Stand in the Gap Today. We have archives on our website. We have social media spots, podcasts. You can follow people like Dr. Olinger and other guests that we have. You can follow them on social media or their blogs and whatever it takes to find good biblical-based news. I would encourage you to do that. So I want to start off by welcoming Dan Olinger to our program. Dr. Olinger, I know that you're busy teaching, and in fact, you're kind of in between classes right now doing many things this time of year. So thank you for taking time to be with us here on Stand in the Gap today.
Thank you, Isaac. I'm glad to be here.
Dan, you wrote an article on your blog about this hyped up sensational news that we get constantly. I think the name of the article was something like, "Don't Freak Out." Actually, I think you maybe gave it a little more theological, a little more profound sound to it. I think it was something like, "Freak out thou not." I just wanted to ask, what led you to write that article?
Well, several reasons, actually. I was seeing a lot of posts from friends on social media who they'd post some issue, and then they'd go, "This is scary." And these are believers, people who know the Lord. And I thought it was odd that they were afraid. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." The Bible talks a lot about fear, and it says that we ought to fear only one person, and that's God. We ought to fear him, but that we shouldn't be afraid of anything else. He says, "Fear not," repeatedly. I also got to thinking that, you know, we all know that it's really hard to make good decisions when you're in panic. We tend to head for disaster when we're in a scary situation, like a building on fire or something. Financial advisors tell us, don't ever make an important decision when you're under pressure. you know, repeatedly we hear, don't be afraid. Don't make your decisions, especially when you're afraid. And given that as believers, we have a Father who cares for us and who directs our steps, I think it's not only senseless to be afraid, but it actually stands in the way of our being who we ought to be as Christians.
I think it's a great point, Dan, and let me follow up on that by asking you this question in regard to that. I agree with you. I think all of us who have lived any kind of years of life know exactly what you're saying there to be true. Communication of our current age really expands a lot of what we are seeing and sensing because we just are so much more available to the various new forms of communication. But from your examination, as you've considered that article and done things in the past, do you think that this current generation perhaps is facing a greater amount of hype and panic and push than generations past?
Well, I think maybe, but I'm not sure that's significant. There has always been hype. Publishers, newspaper publishers, have always wanted to sell papers. Pulitzer and Hearst, you know, and the yellow journalism issues of more than a century ago now. Wars have been started over press hype, the sinking of the Lusitania in World War One. Pearl Harbor in World War II. I'm not suggesting that that wasn't worth fighting for, but I'm saying everybody runs to press when there's a story, you know, because you want to get the story, you want to get the readers. Advertising has always been like that way. Insurance agents, you know, talk about all the terrible things that could happen to you or to your house, or exterminators show you pictures of big bugs and scary snakes, and you know, you don't want this to happen to you, do you? And we even have ads for skin cream that'll take care of those horrid age spots, you know, like that's the worst thing in the world. And, of course, in politics, energetic politics is not a new thing. From John Adams, the second president on, there were political parties, and they were vying for power. Under Andrew Jackson, things got pretty wild. And as the government, particularly at the federal level, has accrued more and more power to itself, there's more at stake in the elections. If you're trying to get elected for the power, well, now the power is almost infinite. So they're going to do whatever it takes to win that election. They're going to say, you know, my opponent is the devil, and I'm the Messiah, and this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Well, yeah, those are very insightful thoughts. Thank you for that. When we come back, we'll be talking more about this with our special guest, Dr. Dan Olinger, professor of Bible at BJU. And we'll be looking at, are Americans really as polarized and as angry as the press wants us to believe? We'll be back after these messages to talk more about this subject.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The Handy Guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at StandInTheGapRadio.com.
Well, welcome back. We've been talking about how many groups in the media are purposely distorting facts in order to sensationalize events that ultimately cause us maybe to panic or to kind of freak out about things, but they're doing it so that they can sell more newspapers or get more clicks on their website. And so our guest today is Dr. Dan Olinger. He's a professor of Bible at Bob Jones University, but he has also done many other things. He has traveled to many countries around the world. In fact, I'm reading here from a description about him. It says that he has taught Bible courses in China, Ghana, Kenya, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Saipan, St. Vincent, South Africa, and Zambia. He has served on the boards of the Shanghai Institute of Health Sciences and Mission to Haiti. And he's even a bungee jumper. He has jumped off of one of the highest bungee jumps in the world at Victoria Falls in Zambia, Africa. So before we get back into these questions about the media distorting facts and how we as Christians, we should be anchored in our peace and hope because of knowing that God is in control, since we're talking about panic and freaking out, Dr. Olinger, could you very briefly just tell our listeners what it's like to bungee jump off the second highest jump in the world? And then could you also tell our listeners how they can read your blog?
Well, I'm happy to take the opportunity. I blog at danolinger.com. It's danolinger.com. I just blog on whatever I'm thinking about at the time. There's not a particular theme to it. I didn't actually jump off Victoria Falls. That would be very foolish. There's a bridge right downstream, the Zambezi River, from the falls, and I jumped there. It's a 111-meter free fall into the Zambezi Canyon. There are class 6 rapids down below, and there are crocodiles down below the rapids. So there are any number of ways to die. It's a fairly frightening event. The crew there is very professional. They know what they're doing. I made sure of that before I did it. But they tie you up, and then you step to the edge of the platform. You don't look down. Everything in your brain is saying no. You just look straight ahead at the horizon, and you lean forward slowly, and gravity takes care of the rest. It wasn't painful. It was exhilarating. The worst part of it for me was being upside down for an extended period of time, a lot of blood rushing to your head, but very enjoyable experience. A few months later, a woman from New Zealand went off the same platform, and her cord broke, and she went into the river. Survived. She was pretty beat up by it, but a strong swimmer and was able to get out. I don't think I'd do it again, but I'm glad I did it that one time. It was quite an experience.
It's an experience just listening to you describe it, Brother Dan. How long did it take you to get down?
I have no idea. It's complete sensory overload. I mean, the wind is rushing by you. You're upside down. You know you're out of control, and it's not really a time for doing a lot of observational study.
I thought maybe you might have written a book or something during the fall. But nevertheless, let's get back to our subject here. That involves you and all the traveling that you've done both domestically and internationally. In your opinion, are Americans as angry and mad as the media would lead us to believe? And in addition to that, compared to other nationalities that you've observed, are we much more polarized as a whole? What are your thoughts on those questions?
Well, I think some Americans are mad, and all of them are posting on social media. there are a lot of angry Americans on the left and the right. But it's not particularly an American phenomenon. Other countries have the same kind of thing about the same kinds of issues. A few years ago, Kenya had a presidential election, and there was, in much of Africa, tribal identity is Trump's national identity. And so the members of the tribes whose candidates didn't win the election fought against the tribe of the winner, and there was quite a bit of violence, and there was bloodshed, and it was a very unpleasant time. Of course, we know that in South Africa, they've got a lengthy history of racial conflict. I thought Nelson Mandela did a remarkable job of transitioning his country through what could have been a very explosive time. In recent years, in recent days, the current president has made some policy suggestions that I think are just extremely dangerous and may lead to very serious problems in South Africa. And I love that country, and it hurts me to see that happening. At the other end of the spectrum, Zambia gained independence in the 1960s, and their president announced, we're going to be one Zambia, one nation. We're not going to do the tribe thing anymore. And while there are still multiple languages and multiple tribal identities in Zambia, there has been peace there in large part since their independence, and good for them. I'm glad to see that happen.
Dan, I'm going to switch topics a little bit, but still on the same theme. You recently wrote in one of your blogs about an encounter experience you had with jury duty. I want to have you explain that a little bit, what you observed, but I want to comment on something that you said. You're talking about the nation over there. We're saying, look, we're not going to follow tribal tendencies anymore. We're one nation. Well, we've been one nation here. Last century, we inserted under God into our pledge. We have a constitution that binds us together so that whether we're Democrats or Republicans, theoretically, we ought to be bound together and hang and hinge on the Constitution. Yet, I'm not so sure that that is happening so much anymore. I'm just kind of curious, what did you discover when you sat there in that room full of jurists or potential jurists? What did you observe?
Very interesting experience. The jury was very diverse. We had men and women. We had Caucasians, African-Americans, Latinos. We had liberals and conservatives. We had white-collar and blue-collar. It was just a remarkably diverse group for just 12 people. It was amazing. It was a very emotionally charged case. It was a child sex abuse situation. And, you know, all kinds of emotions. And it was very interesting to me that the jury was split exactly down the middle. Odd situation. Everybody believed the witness. It was just a case of one witness who told, there were no witnesses, of course, to the event except for her and the perpetrator. She told her story, and all 12 of us believed her. But half the jury said, we can't vote to convict over reasonable doubt on the testimony of one witness. And I note that that's a biblical principle, you know. All kinds of reasons for there to be hostility in that room. I was the jury foreman, never been on a jury before, and led the discussion, and it was just amazing to me that people spoke with passion and with energy and conviction, highly emotional discussion, and yet everybody sat there and listened to everybody else. We treated one another with respect. During our breaks, we socialized, and it was very pleasant, despite the fact that each member knew how the other members were thinking and how they were disagreeing with him, you know. We left that room as friends. And I remember thinking, you know, this is how this country is supposed to work. And I'm inclined to believe that under similar circumstances, that's how most Americans would work together. I think most of us are adult enough to know that we disagree, and we may not change each other's minds. I don't really believe that most, just to pick one example, I don't really believe that most Democrats think Republicans want to shoot people. and see them die en masse. And I don't really think that most Republicans think that the left wants to lock us all up. The empty barrel makes the most noise, you know, and there's a lot of noise out there, but I don't think that reflects the real thinking of most Americans in their homes and in their daily lives.
I would definitely agree, just anecdotally from what I see, that there are plenty of people I come across, groups of people who do have different views and different beliefs on things, and yet as Americans, they're not, you know, fighting each other and going after each other the way the news would almost lead us to believe, that we're so polarized, it's like another civil war going on. So my question, and I don't know if there's a full answer to this, but just your thoughts on this, who do you think benefits from, you know, the news pushing this polarized stuff on our country, saying that, oh, we're so polarized, and almost seems to be driving a wedge between groups, you know, conservative versus liberal, things like that. Do you think that there's a benefit to somebody making more money because of that kind of panic-stricken news?
Oh, yeah. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist, actually. I know there are people who have evil motives. I don't think everybody in leadership has evil motives. I don't think there's this grand cabal to try and manipulate the whole country to a specific end. But clearly anybody in the news business has a financial motive. They want page views. They want watchers. They want clicks. And so they're going to try to get those in whatever way they can.
Mm. There's so much more to discuss on that, the financial underpinnings of why we hear what we hear in the news. We're going to get back to this topic, but we need to take a quick time out. But when we come back, we'll be talking more about trusting God and listening to His word rather than freaking out or panicking when we hear the sensationalized news of the day. So don't freak out. Don't panic. We're not leaving forever. We'll be right back after a brief time out right here on Stand in the Gap Today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us. We have the Honorable Sam Rohr, the president of APN, and Dr. Gary Dahl, the executive director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, and myself. I'm Isaac Crockett. And we are talking with our friend, Dr. Dan Olinger, about how we as believers can trust God over the news media of the day. And when we hear things that are meant to get us to panic, we can still stay calm because we have a foundation in Jesus Christ. I do want to thank you for joining us and remind you that you can listen to this or other programs again or share them with other folks. You can see extra information, more resources, and of course be able to share these with other folks by visiting our website, standinthegapradio.com, or you can get our mobile phone app, which is a really good help and has the archives on it as well. That's on Android and iPhones. And you can also follow us on social media. That way you can stay up to date with notifications of the latest information that's coming out. And whether you're on Facebook or whether you're boycotting Facebook right now and you're going over to Twitter, we have you covered and we have some great resources for you. We also have videos on our YouTube channel that you can watch, and you can use social media to give information to other people. Instead of telling them how to think, just share some of the information from our site with them, and they can find out truth and they can see facts before themselves and make their own decisions. And I also want to ask you for your help. We need you to pray for us with the many opportunities right now that we have for ministry on the radio and through other opportunities in our pastors network. We covet your prayers, and we would also be grateful if God lays it on your heart to support our ministry financially. Well, we started our program talking about how so much of what we call news and even things in our social media feeds are really designed to get us to kind of panic, to use the vernacular, to freak out. We've discussed why the media outlets are doing this. It's really a financial issue. They want more money or to get more clicks and to get their opinion out. But I want us to focus on our response as Christians in these days where, because of modern technology, because of the internet especially, we do seem to have access to more information than any other time in history. And it can be scary. It can be overwhelming to hear so much information. So Dr. Olinger, do you think that there are times when people who know Christ as Savior, there are times that many Christians maybe panic about things, and sometimes maybe they think that they ought to be panicked or freaking out, but biblically speaking, Does the Bible give us permission, I guess you could say, if we truly believe the Word of God, does it give us permission to believe in a sovereign God and still panic?
Never. Absolutely never. The Lord is our shepherd. God is faithful. He's not going to fail in his promises to us or his plans for us. Now, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be great. Historically, Christians have been persecuted far more than American Christians are currently being persecuted today. Some of them have gone all the way to death. But God is still God, and his plans for us are good, and I'm going to trust him. I don't see any other course of action. Now, I think we ought to be stewards in our service of him, stewards of our times. We need to be aware of what's going on. I appreciate the work of this ministry in doing that. We need to exercise our rights under the Constitution to effect appropriate change insofar as the law allows. But I don't think there's any reason for us to be afraid. And there's certainly no reason for us to be agitated to the point where we look like, as people of God, we're responding to the exigencies of our day in the same way the lost are.
It appears that we face a lot of apathy among American believers today in so many ways. And many Christians don't seem to be upset about the things that we should be upset about. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 tells us, for instance, to abhor that which is evil. And Ephesians 5:10 says, well, that we are to reprove the works of darkness. And with those thoughts in mind, my question is simply this: how do we preach the message of putting our faith in action without crossing the line into scare tactics or sensationalism? And we know that a lot of preachers have gotten involved with that down through the years.
Sure, absolutely. I think we need to go back to the prime directive. Christ has left us one command, and that is to take the gospel to the end of the earth, beginning in our own neighborhood. And how are we going to do that effectively? Paul says that we should let our speech be always with grace. Frankly, I don't see a lot of gracious speech on Facebook. I see a lot of zingers. And I know zingers are tempting because it's a lot of fun to nail an idiot, you know?
That's true.
But I don't see any biblical basis for that kind of talk. One of the problems we have is that scare tactics in particular are by definition, they're exaggerations. That means they're inherently untruthful. Truth is an attribute of God, and the falsehood is not our friend. It is not part of our cause. I've seen conservative publications and videos and so on that I could prove were lying, and they knew they were lying. There's no excuse for that. That shouldn't be in our toolbox. I'd love to see us begin to surprise our opponents by demonstrating grace and justice and fairness and most especially love, to weep when our opponents weep, and to set it up so that, you know, everybody's going to be in trouble someday. Everybody's going to need help. And when that day comes, I think it would be awesome if my political opponents thought of me and said, he'll help me. I'm going to go to him.
Dan, as somebody who's been in office, I can say that kind of an attitude would turn a lot of heads. It's not that it's not practiced. You hardly ever see it. But at the end of the day, it's something that is frankly desired. But I don't think people know how to respond that way. And obviously, we're talking about it here. That only comes when somebody knows Jesus Christ or when we act in obedience. But let me go back and bring this aspect up, because I think what you're saying is absolutely correct. We must operate in love. We must have compassion for all of those things where there are things in need, without a doubt, and I don't think we do it enough. But let's come back to this panic idea or the fearful part of the equation. When Jesus talked to his disciples, he said to them, I send you out today as sheep among the wolves.
Yes.
And then later he talks to them about the hireling in the pulpit who, when the enemy comes, the wolf comes, they run and they don't confront, they don't warn, they don't protect. I'd like you to just take and balance a little bit that concept of the wolf, because there are wolves, and wolves are not nice people. They're not people. They're not nice. They devour. They eat sheep. They eat sheep. So there are wolves out there. So factor that into a little bit about the balancing of the wolf, which is a fearful thing, with the fact that we're sheep, and we're also more than conquerors in Jesus Christ as believers. So we're victorious, but we're also sheep among wolves. So put that together if you can.
Well, the Lord is our help, Psalm 121. He is our helper, and we look to him. God doesn't call us to be wolf killers. God is going to take care of the wolves. He calls us to represent him well. And so I think we have to begin by looking to our own souls. We need to have, as individuals, we need to have a genuine walk with God. We need to be fed with the means of grace, the scripture and prayer, and meaningful fellowship with other believers in the context of a Bible-believing local church. We need to actively develop relationships with the lost for the purpose of reaching them with the story, the glorious story of the gospel. And that means we need to learn to spend time with those people who are inherently going to disagree with us. We need to learn to spend time with them without falling into arguments. We need to develop friendships based on the things we do have in common in the image of God. If we're ambassadors for Christ and we spend our time being rude and angry, the lost are going to think that's how God is. And that's going to give them an excuse to reject him. Now, people are going to reject God anyway, but I fear that too often God's people give them reasons to illegitimately. If you're constantly afraid and expressing that fear on social networks, they're going to think your God isn't strong, or that he isn't trustworthy, he's not reliable, and you don't really depend on him, you don't really agree with him. I would like to see God's people be avenues, ambassadors of grace that sets the truth out there in ways that God will use to draw people to himself.
Amen. That is so true, that we are called to be ambassadors through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we don't deserve, but that grace should be displayed through us. And so I know, Dr. Olinger, that you have a class full of students waiting for you to teach them here shortly, so you're about to sign off. But I want to thank you for being on, and to invite our listeners to follow Dr. Olinger on Twitter or to read his blog. And I know yesterday when I was looking at your Twitter feed, it looked like you had 666 followers, so it'd be great if you got at least one more follower to get you off of that number.
I don't really pay attention to the number of followers. Could you once again give your
blog post?
Sure. I blog at danolinger.com, danolinger.com. And I don't know how many followers I have on Twitter. I don't really pay attention to it.
Well, maybe that's the answer for most of them. It was yesterday. I don't know what it was today, but maybe that's the answer for most of us when it comes to the media, to not really pay attention to some of that stuff. But thank you so much for being on with us, and it's been very helpful. We're going to be coming right back to talk more about this topic and looking at how we can use our knowledge of God's sovereignty to guide us when we hear news that naturally does scare us or make us want to panic. So please keep the radio on this station, and we will be right back after this brief timeout.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and his works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com. Listeners all across America are thanking God for Stand in the Gap today. Listen to what Carol, a faithful partner from Southeast Pennsylvania, says about Stand in the Gap today.
Hello, my name is Carol, a regular and faithful listener of Stand in the Gap Today, a daily one-hour program heard Monday through Friday. The program hosts talk to interesting and fascinating guests who will discuss some of the most important issues of our day and time from a constitutional and biblical worldview. I hope you will join me for Stand in the Gap Today, a daily one-hour program heard Monday through Friday. You'll be so glad you did. And remember, the American Pastors Network covets your prayers and financial support.
Thanks, Carol. Your prayer and financial support of this program has helped us to become the main source of trustworthy news analysis for so many people. If you're listening to me right now and you've never contacted us like Carol did, would you do so now? Partner with us in prayer and finances by going to standinthegapradio.com. And if you're benefiting from this program, tell a friend.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back to our program. It's hard to believe that we're already to the last segment of today's broadcast. But we've been talking about how many in the media distort facts in order to purposely exaggerate, to sensationalize events, and they do it ultimately. It seems like they're causing us to panic, but they're doing it for financial reasons and other issues, trying to change society. But we were looking at how, as Christians, we know God is in control, and we need to resist this urge to freak out, to panic, to just do whatever the world tells us to do. So our special guest has been Dr. Dan Olinger, a Bible professor and blogger. He had to rush off just now to teach a class, but he left us with a lot of helpful information. So, Sam, I'd like to go to you and ask you, how can we tell when a news source is distorting facts, you know, to sensationalize it, exaggerate the issues, or even maybe distorting facts in order to influence our nation, in order to change our culture and our belief systems? And then another kind of question along with that, what do we do? Who can we turn to for factual information? Who do we look to for the truth?
Isaac, great questions, and I'm going to answer it in two different ways. How do we identify sensational, which, as Dan would say, basically untrue commentary and news and all that kind of thing? And I'd say the first one is this. If the initial response is to make you say, oh, no, or fearful, that's probably sensational. And so back up. So it's a choice. I think it has to be early on entered in. But if you sense right off that this is a doing something to your gut or to your brain or whatever and making you fearful, which we generally can identify with that, best to take a deep breath and step aside. That's number one. That's an initial. But then beyond that, when we hear things that may be giving us an impression on the news or an event that leads us away from God and truth or leads us away from the Constitution, to me, really, the best way and the best example I could give there, Isaac, would be, as they used to say, for those who used to work for the Treasury, when they dealt with identifying counterfeit money, they didn't tell them to go out and learn all of the counterfeits. What they taught them to do was learn the genuine. Learn the genuine, the truth. Then when you know what is the truth, then you can identify and spot the fraud, the counterfeit, the deceptive. And that really brings us back to the Word of God. I think that's what Dan was laying out, what we talk about here a lot. Having a biblical worldview that says there is God and there's fixed moral truth and there is an objective way to look at things based on what God says, that's that filter. If a person doesn't have a biblical worldview filter and has that kind of a sense, Isaac, I don't know that they can separate truth from error. Matter of fact, biblically, we know they can't. Truth is spiritually discerned, and the Holy Spirit is necessary to make that process happen. So we fixate and we learn the genuine, that's God's word. We operate in the fear of God, and that attitude is the best preparation, I think, to identify the sensational, the deceptive, the fraudulent that we find so much around us today.
Wow, that is helpful. Gary, you've been involved with news and Christian radio, been doing radio shows since actually before I was even born. What philosophy have you used to guide you in preparing shows to keep your radio programs biblically balanced without distorting facts, because I know even before the program, you were talking about people you've met in the news that were talking to you about how they purposely distort things in order to get more viewers and things like that. And you even mentioned sometimes from our pulpits, this is a temptation for pastors to do. What have you done as a pastor and as a Christian radio programmer, broadcaster, to keep yourself balanced in this situation?
Well, first of all, Isaac, I want to thank you for telling people how young you are. As you said that I've been doing radio since you were born. So thank you for sharing your youth. But, you know, that's a very good question. And I would like to answer it from a twofold perspective. Because since 1976, I've been involved with daily radio. Most of that has been with Bible teaching. A lot of it has been with reporting the news or commenting on the news. I've had several. This is the fourth type of a talk program that I've been involved with in the last 40 years, I would suppose I could say. So as it relates to putting out the news and having a program like this, one of the things that I've always tried to do is to, number one, give the truth with a just interpretation. And what I mean by that is this: try not to read into it or speculate things that really should not be speculated. When you're giving the news, when you're giving the truth about the news, just give the news as clearly as you can without trying to read into it or add to it or to sensationalize it. And we know that this is one of the things that they do on TV and radio all the time. And so I've always tried to guard that, even on this program, when we put things together for Stand in the Gap. In my contribution, I usually just try to give the news as it is with a just interpretation without trying to read into what people are saying or doing, because that will lead to improper conclusions that really will take away from the integrity of the individual who is giving forth that news. In this case, it would be us here on Stand in the Gap. Most of my radio work has been in Bible teaching. And again, we know that a lot of pastors, a lot of preachers have sensationalized the Word of God in their preaching. I've just tried to keep three main points before me. Number one, do everything I can to keep self out of it. Do not opinionize when teaching the Word of God. Number two, be literal in teaching the Word of God without spiritualizing. And number three, let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. And I find that that's the best approach to the teaching of the Word of God, whether it's on radio or over the pulpit.
Very helpful information there. And just to clarify something so I don't distort the facts, I think I meant to say that you've been on radio longer than I've been alive, because I was not born in 1976. So, I don't know who that incriminates more. But very important, like you said, to give the facts. And I think the same thing when we're giving the gospel, that we let the Bible speak, that we don't try to help the Bible out and make excuses for it, and let the Word of God be the truth. Sam, could you close our program out? I don't know if you have any, in the brief moments we have left, any comments, and then could you close us in prayer before we finish our program for today?
Yeah, I will, Isaac. And I'll just say that general principle I followed is this: always listen with caution, take things with a grain of salt. And if something is a rumor, not true, don't repeat it, because we know we shouldn't pass those things along. And that helps not to sensationalize. And learn the truth. Then we can understand the counterfeit. So those are just basic things. And then understanding that all of that is in the Word of God. The Word of God is so relevant. It answers every question to every issue of life. And the more one knows it, the more that happens. Let me go ahead and pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day and your blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you that we can go to the Word of God and find all the answers to every issue of life. And Lord, you have not given us the spirit of fear, not to panic, but the power of God, to have love and of a sound mind, which we get from the Word of God. May our feet be anchored there. May it guide our thoughts. May it guide our thinking and all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we have an exciting and an informative program for you right here on Standing the Gap Today, coming up tomorrow. And in the meantime, please pray for all of our ministries at the American Pastors Network. We appreciate you listening to us, and we'll ask you to make the decision to stand in the gap for the Lord today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.